Hey everybody, Timo from the Bulwark here. I was on the call for a whole hour, and it was it's a lot, man. There's so much happening right now. It takes a toll on you emotionally sometimes. But we talked about Jacob Silverhoff's great reporting from Chicago, just about these tragic stories of people getting snatched off the street by these mass thugs. And we kind of talked a big picture about that. Tom Nichols, my pal, was on as well, about kind of what the rationale is from the administration, what they're trying to get out of this, the power grab, how that can be pushed back against. And then it ended with a conversation about Zach Bryan and his song about ICE. And I talked about it quite a lot on the show, but I want to give you a little bit more actually background. As I say, I'm not a Zach Bryan fan. I don't know that I've even heard one of his songs before today. Maybe I have, just don't know it. I do remember that Beto told me he was a Zach Bryan fan, so maybe I should check him out, but I never have. I do know that he sells out massive stadiums. He's mass market, right? Like so obviously there are red MAGA Americans that like Zach Bryan. I think the first song of his I ever heard, at least knowingly, was this song Revival. Which I guess he ends his sets with, according to one of my buddies. And the DHS used that song to troll him. And they didn't play the clip on MSNBC. And I really hate it. I really hate the clip. So part of me doesn't want to play it for you, but I think we should watch. This is what our government is putting out.
We're having an all-night revival.
This fucking Nazi propaganda that we're doing, people are going to be so ashamed. People are going to be so ashamed of themselves. I'll tell you this. I don't know if we ever get out of this or not, but I'll tell you this. Someday in the future, somebody will lie about whether or not they were participating in this video. And I'm going to do a greater takeout on just the fucking disgusting propaganda that's come from our Department of Homeland Security. Just truly some of the worst, most despicable agitprop that we've seen in the modern era. And what they're doing is just noxious. It just makes you want to spit on the ground. So I'll be doing more on that. But this song, Revival, it's really moving. I can see why he ends the sets with it. I want to read a little bit from it. Your transgressions are mine as well. Anger grows in my bones, if you could not tell. But I'll find comfort in company. Lord, forgive us, my boys and me. We're having an all-night revival. Someone call the women and someone steal the Bible for the sake of my survival. For the sake of my survival. This is what this is about. This is about a flawed man who wants redemption, who wants his friends around him. Maybe wants to read a little bit of the Bible. And wants to come out of the other side, knowing that he had done bad, but through community can do better, could be reborn. That's what that song's about. Our government is using it as the soundtrack for chaining people and ripping them away from their community, ripping them away from their family, and ensuring they have no chance at redemption. They're using it to advance their agenda of submission and vengeance and retribution. I fucking hate it. I fucking hate it. The only good news, and then we'll get to Nicole. The only good news is that people don't want to be on the side of the boot. Some people do. But overall, most people don't want to be on the side of the fucking boot that's on the neck. Right? At least in the American spirit, in the American tradition, and the country music tradition, and the comedian tradition, and the free speech tradition, and the mainstream American tradition, people have wanted to be the ones that are fighting against the boot. They're saying no to the boot. And I think hopefully maybe little things like what Zach Bryan is doing can be a rallying cry for folks against the boot. So stick around, subscribe to the feed. We'll be seeing y'all soon.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by Soul. After a long day, I used to pour a glass of, Pinot, maybe a Sauvignon Blanc, a Riesling if I was getting really crazy. But lately, I've been reaching out for Sol's out-of-office gummies and drinks instead. This is my favorite federally legal way to unwind and ease into the evening. And I do it all without the alcohol or the next day fog. Sol is a wellness brand that believes feeling good should be fun and that should be easy. Sol specializes in delicious, hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. Their best-selling out-of-office gummies were designed to provide a mild, relaxing buzz that gives you a little lift and it enhances your creativity and relaxation. With five different strengths, you can tailor the dose to fit your vibe, from a gentle 1.5 milligram microdose, good for evening parenting, if I do say so, to their newest 15 milligram gummy for a more elevated experience. And if you like their out-of-office gummies, try their new out-of-office beverage, a refreshing alcohol-free alternative that's perfect for winding down on the couch or socializing with friends. Sol also has a variety of products specifically designed to help you get a better night's rest, including their top-selling Sleepy Gummies. It's a fan favorite for deep restorative sleep. I need those. I gotta have those. Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Sol today. Right now, Sol is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. 30% off. Can't beat it. Go to GetSol.com and use the code BulwarkTakes. That's GetSol.com, promo code BulwarkTakes, for 30% off.
Tim Miller, how do you see this moment? And how, this week feels different. I mean, we talk every week. This escalation in Chicago and attempted escalation in Portland does feel different.
It does. This actually very moment feels different, right? And as I was looking at social media before I got on, and, you know, we have...
God bless you. God bless you for looking. I can't bring myself to look. Tell me what it says.
Unfortunately, I'm not doing it, you know, just for kicks. I just feel like I should know what's happening before I come on. But thank you. I'm doing my best, Nicole. But the Texas National Guard troops have landed in Illinois, as Tom mentioned. And it's they've landed there against the wishes of the Illinois governor. And you don't want to be bombastic about this and start using words like civil war because they haven't actually done anything yet. Who knows? Maybe they'll just walk around and mulch, you know, the public parks like they were doing in D.C. But like we are in a place, and this has not happened since the Civil Rights Act. It has not happened in our lifetime. The last time the federal government or other states sent National Guards into a state against the governor's will was to enforce the Civil Rights Act against the, you know, segregationist Southern states. And that is where we are right now. Like it is at that level of crisis. And it is happening apropos of basically nothing. Like it is happening only because the president of the United States and his acolyte, Stephen Miller, want to signal their power, as Tom Nichols was pointing out, but also, you know, grab as much power as they can, you know, throughout both the federal government and now across the states. And so, you know, to me, I think that's where that's different. I mean, the ICE stories and the stuff that Jacob has been talking about is so tragic and horrible and really affecting. Like that, as he said, has been something that's been going on for a while now. This effort to send these Texas troops into Chicago is a real inflection point.
Tim, I keep hearing people say Trump is so strong and emboldened. I actually think what's being revealed through the x-ray of our country's, the country's MRI is the weakness of everybody else. I don't think Trump looks strong. I think the Republican-led Congress looks completely flaccid and impotent and lame. Like none of them should have a case to make to their own constituents that they've done anything. And to not uphold these basic, never before this moment disputed norms of the vision that the founders had for our country. I saw an interview that you did with Kent Burns that what the founders didn't imagine is that Congress would take themselves off the field.
Yeah. It is pretty astonishing. I mean, at least I can't get inside the minds and hearts of Republicans in Congress when it comes to this National Guard deployment. And a lot of them had said that they were opposed it in past lives when Obama and Biden were president, and they had like imaginary fantasies about Obama invading Texas. There's like a whole Jade Helm conspiracy around all of that. That's a deep cut for folks who are, you know, in the Fox orbit 15 years ago. So they said they were opposed to it. But there are other areas where, like, we know they're opposed to it, where Donald Trump is grabbing power right right now, and where their weakness is just so shocking. You know, one thing that I think about is the firing, you know, of these prosecutors, you know, in the Eastern District of Virginia. You know, we fired these folks who are currently prosecuting terrorists that are allegedly responsible for the deaths of 13 American soldiers in Afghanistan. The point person on that prosecution was fired because I guess Pam Bondi and Donald Trump didn't want to have somebody around that they didn't think was fully on board. They didn't really have even evidence of this. This person was just smeared on social media, so they just fired them. Like, they don't have confidence that anybody within there who dissents at all. And these guys at Congress, you would think they would be opposed to that. The Republicans in Congress want to have these terrorists prosecuted, and yet they're all silent right now in the face of this.
As we've been on the air, Nicole, just to Tom Nichols' point, we have got some more video in that shows how the Trump administration is already trying to normalize force and fear and disorder on the streets of American cities with militarized police forces. Let's pull this up. This is a video that happened. Again, I told you the story just around the corner from here. Watch this. This is a neighborhood, literally, I think, Five minutes walk from where I am right now, in Berwyn, 24th and Lombard today, 11:09 a.m. They took a woman walking on the sidewalk moments after they recorded this video. This comes to us from the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression, a group that's been part of the Rapid Response Network. You can see exactly what's happening on your screen right now. Troops on American streets taking a woman off the streets with this show of force.
What did they say they took her for? Just, again, racial profiling?
What's the reason you're stopping me?
Yeah, they obviously didn't say it to me, but listen to what they're saying.
Follow us, all right? Otherwise, we're going to arrest you for impeding your honor.
I'm not impeding
anything. We're letting you know this is the first warning and last warning.
Okay.
You got that?
What are your guys' names?
This right here.
Do you guys have a name for?
This is the name. 306.
Stop following us.
Next time, is that going to be a warning?
I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not breaking any laws right here. It doesn't matter.
Tim, it feels like doing all the things Tom talked about, calling it out, is a vital piece of this. But what is the sickness that makes Kristi Noem say she gets off on watching these raids and this is content that she loves? And I think Stephen Miller's wife said something similar. How do you fix that in the human soul?
You don't fix their souls. I don't know the Kristi Noem soul. I guess we're all redeemable, but I don't know that we've got a ton of hope for Kristi Noem. But maybe she can change her ways. I think that there's something Tom was talking about how this is about power and trying to stamp out dissent. I think it is worth noting that, like, that part hasn't worked so far, actually. At the elite level, people have become weakened, but there have been protests. There'll be another round of No Kings protests that I expect to be very big coming up here in a couple of weeks. We'll see how it turns out with voting. A lot of times these efforts to stifle it end up backfiring. You see the community reaction in Chicago, and it's in videos of people trying to protect their neighbors from these sorts of attacks. That guy with the video going up to these masked officials. So, like, that part is working. You're seeing some backlash. I mean, not as much as we would want, even in some Trump corners, people that have been friendly to Trump about, like, these masked officials and the deportations. I know we're going to talk about the country music singer later. And so you're seeing some pushback to that, and for good reason, because it doesn't look like America. I just think one other thing I just have to say watching that video, it's so sick. Is these masked guys going after people on the streets of Chicago. Like, that is not America. You don't get to be in a mask. You have to tell us who you are. There are many people that put themselves at risk on behalf of the country that are at threat. I mean, there's that judge in South Carolina whose house was just set on fire recently.
Pulled over.
I don't know what they're still investigating what that was, judges, prosecutors, all of us, many people put themselves at risk. And if you're representing the government, you don't get to do it in a mask or in secret. Like, that is part of public service. And I think that there is going to be mass outrage against this, because people just get it instinctually that this is wrong. Videos like this are wrong.
Tim Miller, I think this is so important because the sort of the history of pushing back, when it works, it's always interconnected with culture. And there's actually, I can't find any example of the resistance or the opposition or the comeback that has succeeded without being tied in to culture and moving people, not just through politicians and campaigns and elections, but through culture. And I thought your conversation, let me play it. This is your interview with Barstool host Kevin Clancy. I thought this was really notable as well.
A lot of Democrats are kind of scared to talk about immigration because they've like internalized that like Biden at the border, which he did,
mm-hmm.
and that immigration's a winning issue for Trump. And so they shouldn't talk about it because it's like it's a loser for them. And I'm kind of like, I don't know, man. I think that like most middle of the road people don't want mass dudes taking people that are gardening.
I think you're pretty crazy if you think that. Like, I think you're an absolute bat crazy person if you're like, that's good.
So if he's lost country music and he's lost Barstool, why isn't there more sense of we're on the offense on the other side? And why isn't it reflected on sort of in the body language of Democrats?
Yeah. Sorry for all the bleeps and that.
No, I love it. I love the whole thing. And I don't think I have it, but I love when he says everyone at Barstool is a liberal and you're like, what? What? So I'm not asking about that too, but this is interesting. Like nobody's for this. And if you think they are, you're bat bleep crazy.
Yeah. I think that's right. I mean, some people are for it. Obviously it's a big country, but just huge swaths of the country are not for this type of immigration. Maybe they should have seen the mass deportation now signs and known this was coming and not voted for Trump. I get it. I understand the frustration Democrats have, but it is extremely unpopular. And I do think the Democrats need to get a stiff in their spine on this and talk about this issue. And I think it's really notable that Zach Bryan, as a country music singer, you know, made the protest song about ICE. It could have been about anything, right? But he made it about immigration. And Zach Bryan is, I just don't pretend like I'm a big fan of him. I'm not. He's a mainstream country singer. My friends went to his show in football stadiums, right? So it's not like he's a niche kind of liberal indie country artist. Like, he's singing in massive football stadiums. And this is what he wanted to talk about. And so if he feels comfortable doing that, there are obviously Trump voters in those stadiums, then Democrats should feel very comfortable talking about it too. And I think it's a really important issue, and it's a way people can to win people over. Just one other thing about this, about the grotesqueness of the administration and Kristi Noem's soul that we were talking about, which I appreciate you didn't play, but they, to troll Zach Bryan, they put out a post, our Department of Homeland Security, our country's Department of Homeland Security, playing one of his songs called Revival over like the chaining of immigrants. And it was a way to troll him, I guess, for pushing back on this. And that song, which I didn't know before, but I went and read up on and learned about, is about somebody that's had struggles, somebody that maybe has been to prison, and somebody that's had redemption and found redemption in their life through the Bible and through family and their friends and maybe drinking and community. And that is like a song, I guess, that he plays at the end of every set. And for this, our administration to try to take that and take a song that is about redemption and giving people a second chance and make it about like submission and chaining people and vengeance, it is gross. And people don't like it, and they're going to respond negatively to it. And I think that it's important to have people like Zach Bryan out there making, you know, delivering that message, because I think it's going to resonate with people. And like you said, if it's resonating with the Barstool guys and country music singers singing to football stadiums, surely, you know, it should be something that Democrats know resonates broadly.